So, Father, we just thank you for another night of coming together and fellowshipping together. We just thank you for this night, Lord. We just ask you to just guide our, tongues tonight, Lord, and just, just guide, as far as this, what we talk about, let it be edifying. And we just bind up any principalities and powers that would try to come against the equipment or come against the programming or come against any, try to cause any hindrance tonight. We just call just perfect internet connections and bandwidth, and we just thank you that tonight's going to be blessed, Lord. And we just bind up anything that would keep anybody from just not, bringing forth testimonies or sharing their hearts or asking questions or anything like that, and fear of man or anything like that. We just bind you in the name of Jesus. We just thank you for just a blessed night in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, let's start off in prayer. As far as anybody want to pray for anybody need prayer, let's start off in prayer.
Hey, Tim.
Hey, Wade.
Yeah. Okay. Want to pray for Guy Walton. He's a minister here in the Southern Louisiana. New Orleans and Lafayette in this area. He has cirrhosis of the liver caused by hepatitis C. It's nearly killed him a few times, but God has kept him alive. I'd like to pray that the hepatitis C would be gone completely and the cirrhosis of the liver would be healed. In Jesus' name.
Okay. And you said he calls himself an apostle.
He has called himself an apostle. Lady, do you have his paper?
Yeah, yes.
I just want to see the top of the heading. I don't know if he continues to call himself an apostle, but he started off calling himself an evangelist, and I pretty much think he was an evangelist.
Okay. But he's a believer, and...
Yes, he's a believer. He's committed his whole life in ministry to the Lord, even though
okay.
There seems to be a little error. I know God, sees... Okay. I guess... It doesn't say on here. Okay. But last I heard he called himself an apostle. I never liked it. I much prefer David Eel's method of communicating, in that way,
Well, it really doesn't matter.
Right.
He's
for, the saints. He wants to be a vessel of honor to the saints.
Okay. And you say his name is Guy?
Guy
Walton.
Guy Walton.
Okay.
The name of his ministry is True Life Ministries of Louisiana. It used
okay.
to be True Life Ministries, but oh well. Okay. Anyways, yes, I pray that God would heal him in Jesus' name. That the grace of God would encompass him, and that he would be completely healed of cirrhosis of the liver and hepatitis C.
So, Father, right now we just put our faith together with Wade and Jeanette, and we just curse that hepatitis C. We just rebuke that right now in the name of Jesus, and we call Guy to be healed in Jesus' name. And in this damage to the liver, the cirrhosis of the liver, caused by this curse, we just speak to that liver and we call it healed in the name of Jesus. And Father, if there's any error in Guy, we just ask that you just use this trial to get his attention, to get him into your word and open his spiritual eyes. We bind up the religious spirits that may be on him. And we just ask, Lord, that you just show him your truth, that you just speak to him, that you just give him dreams. and just words of knowledge while you've got him in a weak place, Lord. And Father, if there's anything in him that's unpleasing to you, if there's any unforgiveness, if there's any sin, if there's anything that he's been justifying, we just ask, Lord, you just expose that so he can get right with you. And we pray that you'll just give him a change of mind and just bring him into your fullness if there's anything there. So we just thank you for him, Lord. We ask you to bless him in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Okay, anybody else have need prayer or want to pray for somebody? Well, all right. How about any praise reports? Anybody want to brag on the Lord or have any dreams that the Lord has given you? You want to need an interpretation or
yeah.
You want to share? Hey, Judy.
Yeah, I just would like to pray for my husband's sister.
Did you say husband's sister? Judy? Did you mute your phone?
Yes, I did. Didn't know it. Sorry.
That's all right. That's all right.
When you put
all
it up
of a sudden
your
you're cut out.
Yeah, when you put up your ear really close,
all right.
Thing.
So who do you want to pray for?
My husband's sister. She's about 76, and she had a total knee replacement. They thought it was just going to be a fix-up thing, but then ended up being a total knee replacement. So, Heavenly Father, I bring Sharon Smart, my husband's sister, up to you. You know that she went through this knee replacement, and things went well. And, Lord, I thank you so much for that. But something is confused to her or something because they said she was kind of screaming and yelling and crying, and they were going to have to sedate her, so I don't know what's happening there. So, Lord, I just want you to put calm and peace in her and show her that you're with her and just heal the rest, make the rest of this healing of her knee go very fast. And I thank you, Lord, so much for being with her and her husband. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Amen. So, Father, we just, you know her needs, and we just thank you for just meeting where she's at, Lord. And we just put our faith with Judy, and we just thank you that knee is healed, and we just rebuke that pain off her and just give her comfort, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Okay, anybody else? Wade, were you going to say something, or do you want me to just mute you?
Oh, I'm mute. I'm sorry.
Okay, that's all right. All right. Does anybody have anything to share? Anything on their heart? Anything the Lord's shown you? Anything you want to discuss tonight?
You know, in our, Tim, in our morning prayer group, we keep getting words about the shaking coming, you know. It's just keeps continually coming, and it's coming more and more. So it looks like, don't know it, but it looks like that we're on the verge of financial collapse. We're also on the verge of martial law, it looks like, and we're also on the verge of some shaking going on, some earthquake shaking. You know, Greece has defaulted. And because of David Wilkerson's prophecy, that prophecy said that when that European country defaulted, that 2 weeks later, Central America and Mexico, Central America, I think it was Venezuela or Brazil would default, and as well as Mexico. And then a week after that, the U.S. would fall economically. So it looks like things are heating up. I think David will probably say something about it this coming Sunday. But it looks like that things are heating up for September pretty good. There's some other things that's coming about in September, and I don't have that list in front of me right now, but don't know it, but things look about the middle of September like things could be happening pretty good. As a matter of fact, that Mina Lee Graben prophecy, that she said that the Black Horse Rider would be turned loose in between September and December. So if the Black Horse Rider is turned loose, those other two horses, the White Horse and the Red Horse, has to be turned loose before that. So we could be in some shaking times here. It's time, folks, to get right with the Lord. It's time to know that you're right with the Lord. It's time to be in that ark of Christ. It's time to know for sure that you have the faith that God's given you to believe the promises, to believe that Psalms 91 is part of your life. And I just thought I'd kind of throw that out there. We're in some perilous times now if you're not right with the Lord. And that's more or less what the Lord's been dealing with me on, is to warn the people about where they are and to get things right with the Lord. And that's the main thing right now, is just make sure that there's no unforgiveness in your heart. Make sure that everything is right. You're right with the Lord in every aspect of your life, that you're doing everything that you know to do in the Lord. And if you're doing that, you don't have a thing to worry about. God's going to take care of you.
Amen. Yeah, David shared with me that today that I guess Putin has just, you know, ordered just a ton of bombers to be manufactured, like times three of what they have now. And he shared that Dmitry Duterman had a prophecy of, you know, just the sky just, you know, black with bombers. And, you know, he's just mentioning, it sounds like that's, you know, that's playing into, you know, Dmitry Duterman's, you know, vision that he had as far as that, because I guess he's just ramping up, you know, building bombers or something. So I haven't seen anything on that. He just mentioned it to me today. So I thought that was kind of interesting. But,
yeah, you know, they're butting heads up there in the north. Russian and America are up here in the cold weather up around Alaska and Siberia, and also the Chinese and the Americans and the Koreans are all getting wound up, it looks like. So things are heating up all over the world.
Amen. Yeah, we've had a yes.
Well, I was just going to share. On Tuesday, when you guys had a meeting, Brother Gruber was here, and we had a gathering together, and I just was going to share a testimony that he had. That's okay.
Perfect.
He said
you could share more than one.
Well, I'll just share one. You don't want to get going with as many as that brother gets going on. We'd be here all evening. But he said that... over there right now, there's, you know, just like we know, what the news is saying is not really, you don't hear much about what's really going on. But he said there's a couple of things going on in the Middle East that people don't really realize that's going on. There's some incredibly bold brothers right now who are over there preaching the gospel to ISIS, to those people that are murdering everybody. There's this one brother, and the guy is, I forgot his name. He had the guy's name. But he's like a lion. He's just bold like a lion. And he went in there, and I guess somehow the leader of ISIS knew this guy. And he came in there preaching to these, him and a team of guys are preaching to these people. They grabbed him and locked him up, and then they beat the heck out of him and stripped him and beat him and beat him. And that guy comes in there and got in his face, and he says, "Brother," he says, "we're going to cut you in pieces." He says, "if you cut me in pieces, every piece will lay there and say, I love you, man." And that guy just, he didn't know what to do with it. And he goes, "yeah, well, let me tell you the rest of the story. I'm the one that killed your daughter." And the guy says, I still love you, man. And the guy just freaked out. He didn't know what to do. And finally, he sent all of his men away. He says, I'm going to handle this. Him and his top guy stayed to talk to these people and sent the rest of the guys away. And then he came in and he just poured out his heart. And he said, look, because there's another thing that's been going on over there is a bunch of the widows. There's one of the widows, these ISIS people have butchered so many men that there's a lot of widows over there, just bunches of them. And one widow is a very bold lady too, and she's been gathering other widows together, praying and getting them to go and preach the gospel to the same people that butchered them and butchered their families and stuff. And anyway, the first 10 widows that showed up at this group, they killed all 10 of them. And then this man poured out his heart to this brother and said, we killed 10 widows. He says, I killed three of them myself. And he said, I haven't slept since then. He said, my wife hates me for what I did. My children hate me. And he said, can God forgive me? And he was just very earnest. After these men were sent away, he asked him, can God forgive me? And the guy said, yes, God can forgive you. And anyway, him and the top two guys ended up bowing the knee to Jesus the Lord. And he let these men loose and says, go, get away now, and send them away. And then they said, well, what are you going to do? He said, we're going to go back and tell it like it is to all the people, our men. So these guys, you know, whether they live or not, probably not. But the point is that there's a lot going on that you don't see. And here's a boldness. I mean, I long for that kind of boldness, a boldness that has no fear, a boldness that can look in the face of the sword and preach the gospel of Christ, because the love of Christ constrains a person. And these brothers, I've read testimonies of other brothers in persecuted places that just become bold to a state of unreasonable boldness that there's no natural explanation for. It has to be by the Holy Ghost. And they preach the gospel right in the face of the sword and say, you cannot kill me. I'm already dead, brother. And they just share the word anyway. And there's a bunch of women that are doing it too. And the first 10 widows died for it. But man, it left a judgment. And Henry said another thing is happening over there right now. There's a judgment that's come upon these men. And there's a... God, it's almost like when Jonah, it says, and the Lord prepared a worm to eat the vine that was shadowing over Jonah. Well, there's a fly that's been biting these men on their faces, and they have a flesh-eating disease that's getting on their faces and just gnawing holes in their faces. And these ISIS people right now are not having a happy time of it. And but right now, God's raising up people that have no fear. And I looked at that and I said, Lord, I want that kind of boldness, you know, a boldness that never comes to the cost, just obeys, and that's moved by the love of Christ, that can look in the face of death and say, you cannot take me. Paul says to live is Christ, to die is gain. You know, it's to be in that place where that kingdom is so real, and that that there's no fear, that fear is gone. The perfect love casts out all fear.
Amen.
Oh, praise God. My Lord and my God. Glory, hallelujah. My goodness. I want that boldness. Father, I need that boldness. We all need that kind of a boldness. To step up right in the face of the enemy and preach the gospel, knowing that you might lose your life right then. Praise be to the Lord. That is awesome, Michael.
Oh,
do you have
man,
any more stories like that?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said.
I said, did he have any more stories like that? Of those?
He had stories in Thailand. He's been preaching in Thailand, and he's been in Honduras preaching, and he's been preaching in Belize, and he's been all over the place. But you know, I don't think I'll draw attention anymore, because there's a bunch of Buddhists that got saved in Thailand, and I mean not Thailand, it was Taiwan, Taipei, Taiwan, and he told the testimonies of, oh yeah, he had 10 Muslim guys surround him. He said it was almost like when he was in the cave in Lebanon where those those guys had him surrounded, and he went in a cave, just went in this cave because it was so hot, and he was walking in Lebanon when they had the military action, Israel had the military action many years ago, and he walked into a cave, and he's just sitting in the mouth of this cave, cooling himself down, and all of a sudden he's surrounded by these radical guys, and they said, and the guys had pliers and knives, and they said, we're going to skin you alive, you're a CIA, and they had their knives out, get ready to do it, and he just began to pray for each one of them and remit their sins and pray for each one of these men. And by the time he got done, all of a sudden they jumped up and ran out of the place, just ran out of the cave. The fear of the Lord came on him. And he had the same thing. He was in a situation, and they told him he was in a Muslim area. And they said, don't go in this area. It's a Muslim area. And he was preaching there. And don't ever be alone. You've got to be with all the brothers. There's a bunch of brothers have to be with you. And it was hot, and he needed to change his clothes, and he said, I'll do it myself. And he ran back to this motel, and there were 10 Muslim guys waiting for him right there. And when he walked in, he said he knew this was that same kind of situation as with the Al-Qaeda people that he had been with before in that cave. And he just said, Lord, I'm either going to do one of two things. Either your peace is going to come upon me, and I'll face these, and I'll walk right into these guys. And he said, the look on their face, you know the difference. These guys were they had evil, very evil intent, and there's no doubt about it. And he said, Lord, and then they walked over, and they opened the elevator, and they waited for him, all of them were in the elevator, waiting for him to come in. And he said, Lord, if your peace comes upon me, I'll walk right in the middle of them. And if it doesn't, I'm going to slip out the back and run, you know. And the peace of God came over him, and he walked boldly right into the middle of that elevator full of these 10 Islamic guys that were very evil intent. He knew they were there to kill him. And he said, he got in that elevator, and they just surrounded him where he couldn't, and he just reached his arm through with a boldness and just pushed the elevator to the floor he wanted to go. And then he looked each one in the face and began to pray for them and just remit their sins and pray for each one of them. Pray for each one of them, and looked them in the face and just went right around and prayed for every one of those guys. And by the time the elevator opened, they just jumped back in and headed back down. They didn't want any part of it. And so that was a pretty interesting story you had there.
Wow. It's interesting because today I was just doing some power washing, and my mind was just on these ISIS radicals and the Muslim radicals, and I was thinking back. I had a house that I rented to some Palestinians, and they were wonderful tenants. And one day we were having a conversation about politics, and he was talking about this Christian nation and George Bush, the Christian, and all this. And I told him, I said, George Bush is not a Christian, and this is not a Christian nation. And his eyes got lit up, and I said, you know, we wouldn't be over there murdering and killing if this is a Christian nation, because Christ is all about love. And it was just an impact on this guy. And he knew how strong of a Christian I was, and it really made an impact on him. And today I was actually thinking about that, and I was thinking about what these radical Muslims were doing and what ISIS is doing. And I mean, there's just, I've only seen a few pictures of, you know, some of the, you know, I can't watch the beheadings or anything like that. It just, I typically don't watch the news, but we were watching something. It was kind of like an update type thing, and they were marching these guys down the beach to behead them, and, you know, they got down on their knees, and these guys were, you know, they weren't squirming, anything like that. They were standing for Christ. It was like, wow. You just see these are, you know, it was pretty amazing to me. But then you share that about the boldness, you know, that some of these guys have out there, and we're hearing about, you know, the ISIS guy that was raised from the dead and ended up everyone he killed, he experienced that through the eyes of the person he killed when he was in hell. And the Lord let him come back. and had mercy on him, and now he's evangelizing for the Lord. And you know, God, if God can do that to the Saul Paul, he can do it out there. He just needs our prayers. But go ahead.
I believe, Jim and Michael and others, brethren, that that this hour, the difference between the overcomers and those that don't, if we succumb to fear, if we come under fear, then we the enemy, it's like a blood trail on an animal that catches a blood trail of fear, and they will prey on that thing. When we move in fear, we come out from under the covering of the Lord's faith, the grace, and the power of God, and we come in a place where we're almost like a wounded animal leaving a blood trail for the predator to take. But when we come into the faith of Christ and the boldness of Jesus Christ, and I've heard the testimonies, I read the brothers, I've been reading the Martyrs book, the Martyrs Mirror and Fox's Book of Martyrs lately, and it's been very inspiring. First of all, the reality that these brothers, so many of these brothers had a reality that I honestly am just crying out for, and a boldness that just, you know, that kissed their bonds, and sisters and women glad they walked to the stake in the name of Jesus, and brethren, preaching and praying for their adversaries that are lighting their fires underneath of them, and to see there's something. In fact, I heard a brother the other day, he's talked about a martyr's anointing. And he said there's an anointing for a martyr that comes upon a true saint. And I just believe in this hour that God, for the true saints of the mighty God who believe that that God is sovereign in their life and sovereign in their death, and that they are not a victim of circumstances or whatever else, that kind of a people are going to be able to enter into a supernatural strength and a supernatural boldness. But I believe that the one thing we've got to be free from is fear. There can be no fear, because whatever is not of faith is sin. And in the hour we come into, we need to be, Paul says, I labored more abundantly than all of you, yet not I, but the grace of God. And it's got to be that manifestation of Christ's Spirit within a people that rise up and walk on top of the storms. You know, there's those that are sinking beneath it, and there's those that are going to walk on top of it, that are going to look at the giants just like those brothers did back there. And they say, man, they got iron chariots and walled cities, and the height of their stature so great, we're like grasshoppers in their sight. And then they look at their own ability and say, we are not able. But Joshua stilled the people and said, they be bread for us. The defense is departed. Let's go at once and possess this land. Well, he is able to bring us in. There's a people that see beyond, has nothing to do with what we can or cannot do. But to be in that place where we see that God, who humbles himself to look at the heavens and the earth, who stretches forth the heavens like a curtain, and as a vesture, he gathers them up and casts them aside. That God, there comes a day, all through the words of many scriptures, that the Lord has the last word. He has the Alpha. He is the Omega. And the day comes when the great men and the mighty men and the chief captains and every bondman and every free man hide themselves in the dens of the earth and the rocks of the mountains, and saying to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the wrath of the Lamb and the face of him that sits on the throne. And there's the last word is the Lord Jesus Christ, and we need to rise up with him. And, I certainly can't give a time and a season, but that Jesus said, he said, no man knows the day or the hour, but he said, you're not in darkness that day should overtake you like a thief. We know the signs of the time, and we know that we have a short season, and it's all going to wrap up. And if there's ever a time that we must right now bear fruit and be faithful, it's now. Forget, I'm having the strangest thing happen in my heart right now. I'm being completely detached from this world in a way that I've never been before. You have people work, and they have a house, and they have the things that this world offers. And I have all of that stuff. And you know what? All of a sudden, I'm so dead to it that I don't even know what to do. But I feel like I'm not just theologically, but in reality, I'm my kingdom is not of this world. It's a work of grace that's going on in my heart, where it's all the same to stay or to go, to live or to die, to speak or hold my peace. But if Jesus can be glorified in this vessel, if God can be made manifest, and that somehow at the end of this race to have a testimony that we please the Almighty. Nothing else matters. And so right now we must be about the Father's business. I remind one more scripture. I didn't mean to get going here, but the scripture that says in 2 Corinthians, I think it's in, I don't know if it's 2 Corinthians or 1 Corinthians, but the 9th chapter, it says this, I think. It says this, and every man, it says, do you not know that they which run in a race run all, but only one obtains the prize? So run that you may obtain. And everyone that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. They do it for an earthly, a corruptible crown, but we for an incorruptible. Therefore I run, not as with uncertainty, and so fight I, not as one that beats the air. But I keep my body under subjection, lest after having preached to others, I myself should become a castaway. And right now, this is the time to be temperate. Temperate in all things. We're striving for the mastery. We're striving for the incorruptible crown, to have a testimony before the Lord, to have somewhat, not to have all the works of our life burnt up like smoke before us at the presence of the Almighty. The day cometh that you, it says, and the day shall declare it, for it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire will try every man's work of what sort it is. That's the day when we give account of our lives. But right now, brethren, if there's ever been a time to set aside things, I'm looking, all of a sudden, the things that I gathered together, some of the things, practical things for these days and stuff, but you know, all of a sudden, I'm looking at it, and I'm looking for the first person to give it away to. A lot of it right now, it's strange, because all of a sudden, I'm seeing beyond the veil of this realm enough to realize none of this means dead. And I want right now to be found faithful to the living God, and it's not where, or to try to figure out where's a good place to be? Where's it? It doesn't matter one bit. It means, what does the Father want? What would you have me to do, Lord? Like Paul said when he was fell down, and what would you have me to do, Lord? That needs to be the cry of our spirit, our heart, the passion of our heart. God wants to hear a cry of earnestness from the depths of our heart and spirit, that we plead with the Almighty, that we might be found faithful, that we might know and do His will, to give His hearing ears, seeing eyes, a heart that perceives in this hour, that we might be found called, chosen, and faithful. And that's the cry that's starting to happen in my spirit. And it's not just, I always had it, but not like this. This is something deeper that's going on. But I feel like I'm, all of a sudden, my citizenship is not of this world anymore. I'm being moved out. Even though I'm still here, I've moved out. It's a strange thing, you know. But anyway, I didn't mean to get going so much.
No, that's fine. It's beautiful, you know, because we all need to be set apart from this world, and there's a lot of us that still have too much of this world in us, and this world's going to get shaken, and we need to be sanctified, you know, from that, you know, the things that distract us, you know, from the Lord. And the things that the world provides, you know, the entertainment and all the luxuries that we come accustomed to. And you know, there's a lot of us that, you know, have a lot of world in us that we need to set apart. That's an awesome testimony. And so, Father, I just ask that you just show any of us, you know, the areas where we're not set apart from this world, where we're, you know, we haven't come out of it, we haven't walked away from it, we're just still comforted by it, we're still running back to Egypt, and Lord, we just ask you just help us to get sanctified, Lord, and to trust in you and not to trust in the government and not to trust in what's being provided to us to please our flesh, that we can just separate from this world around us, Lord. We just thank you for that, Lord. Just expose it to us so we can just get free from this bondage. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Ditto.
Thank you, Lord. Yes, it's pretty amazing. I'm just, the church here has no idea what persecution is. And, you know, the things that are going on, you know, we're just getting little glimpses. But the thing is, the church is seeing it. We've had a visitor to, you know, somebody in the fellowship came in, and she's, you know, she's basically a church Christian, and she's been sitting in on the Bible studies and, you know, hearing a little, you know, David. And the thing is her mom is just it read Sovereign God and it changed her life, but this, you know, her daughter has not read it. And her mom has been turning other people on to Sovereign God and bringing into some churches and some Bible studies and stuff like that. And it's, you know, we're being told it's really affecting some people. But we just saw, you know, her daughter here is just, you know, she's just coming in, and, you know, what's happening is, you know, the other day she said, we're not going to be raptured out of here. And, you know, we said, you need to read what we gave you. And, you know, she's starting to see some truths. I mean, she just, you know, the one day, I mean, just this patriotic spirit just raised up, and, you know, just how she's all about country and all that. And we shared with her that we're to be separated from this country, that we're not part of this nation. You know, we're part of the nation, you know, God's nation. We don't, you know, we're not, you know, this country is, you know, that's not who we are. Man, she had a real hard time with that. And, you know, she ran in and got her 4th of July t-shirt, and it was all, you know, flags in America. And, and it was, you know, it was just, and she loves the Lord. I mean, she's got some awesome testimonies of, you know, how the Lord drew her in, but she had a praying mom. And, you know, she was shooting up with heroin, and, I mean, she OD'd once, and she knew that the Lord saved her because she was in her car, and she said the only way to bring somebody out of a OD is to get them into a bathtub full of cold water or hose them down with cold water, strip them naked and hose them down and stuff when they OD, And she was by herself, and she ended up, she OD'd, and she woke up, and she had the windows down in her car. She still had her arm tied off where she was shooting up, and she was covered in just frost and dew, and she was just freezing. But, you know, she knew that the Lord brought in, now looking back, she knew that the Lord brought in this frost and dew, and you know, the prayers of her mom saved her life. And, you know, she was just in total rebellion. And one time she, you know, she shared that she was in a, you know, she was in a bar, and they cut her off. They wouldn't serve her anymore because she was just too wasted. And she jumped over the bar and got herself her own beer. And they called the police, and she knew she was going to heaven. And she said the next thing you know, there was two, like, conservatively dressed men next to her, talking to her about Jesus. And she said they didn't fit in this place. She never saw them, and they just started preaching to her about Jesus. And you know, they basically told her that in jail, that, you know, she's going to hear more of the word or something. And she said she got into a holding cell, and there was two older women in there that were conservatively very dressed, just very nice women, in the holding cell with her. And they were preaching Jesus to her. And they finally called her name and number and said, you know, we're taking you up to your cell. And the officer that was taking her to her cell, she said, who were those two women that were in the holding cell with me? And the officer said, what are you talking about? There was nobody else in that cell. It was only you, you know. So she knew that the men in the bar and the two women in the holding cell were angels. And that was the beginning of her salvation, you know. But we really see where, you know, she got saved, but she's in the church, and, you know, since she's been here, she's really been hearing some truth. But her flesh is having a real hard time. It doesn't want to stick around. It wants to go home. It's just, you can see the battle going on because, it's just, she's just getting a lot of truth and she's seeing it. But the flesh is just flipping out. So it's kind of interesting to watch, but it's a typical what's in the church today. And she's seeing the beheadings. She's seeing the earthquakes. She's seeing the volcanoes. She's seeing the tornadoes. She's seeing everything that's going on, knowing that things are ramping up. But she was thinking that she's not going to see any wrath, and she's going to fly out of here before the wrath hits. And I said, well, you tell those Christians that, that were lined up on the beach having their heads chopped off that they weren't going to see wrath. Michael shared with her, there's a difference between tribulation and the wrath of God. We're going to see tribulation. That's the tribulation, but the wrath of God comes in, at the end. So it was putting the fear of the Lord in her, which was awesome, but the flesh did not like it. So, so it's been interesting things. And I've just been hearing testimonies. I heard a testimony of a family of Christians that were fleeing. ISIS was coming into their town, and they just grabbed whatever they could, their valuables and what was important to them. And they got in their car and they were fleeing town, but it was too late and they hit an ISIS roadblock. And the first thing ISIS did was take their car with all their belongings, their money, their gold, everything they had was in that car, and they took it. And they, they were holding them, and they wanted them to deny Christ. And if they couldn't deny Christ, then they needed to pay a tax, and it was a pretty hefty tax. And they just lost all their belongings that was in the car. And if they couldn't pay the tax, they were going to kill them. And they were at a point of total weakness. And they were in a holding cell, and all of a sudden there was a turmoil that started, with the main officer, whoever it was, had to run out because there was something going on. And, they were just crying out to the Lord, for, his provision, his safety. And the guy that was left there with them just said, you guys need to get out of here now before he gets back. And this guy let him go. And he just, just saw the mercy of the Lord because they were, they were ready to be beheaded or killed. And because they couldn't pay the tax because they already stole everything they had. And, but they waited too late to get out of there. And they were at a point of weakness and just cried out to the Lord, and he delivered them. So I've been hearing a lot of, different testimonies like that. And, about ISIS and about the radical Muslims and stuff like that. And, but the church here has no idea what persecution is all about. And that's over on the other side of the ocean, so we're not going to, it doesn't affect us. So, it's just something they got to deal with. Like, we'll just pray for them, which they, might do or might not. So it's, that's why the Lord's going to shake this place. So, amen.
Tim, I was going to say something. I heard a testimony, Brother Andrew, you all know who he is. He's the one that smuggled Bibles.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever there's a crisis in the world, that brother immediately buys a plane ticket and heads for that place. Because the opportunity is so great when crisis is in the land. That's when the hearts are so ripe. And he used to say, don't be afraid to step out on a limb for God. That's where the fruit is, And when he said, America, you're not going to see America. You don't need one. You got insurance. If anything goes wrong, you got this, you got that. But when you're in a place where you desperately need God to come through, that's when you start seeing the mighty hand of God manifested. And this brother, when the tsunami hits in Indonesia, he's there. I mean, and he's preaching Christ because that's when people are in a hearing place, and judgments are in the land that people learn righteousness.
Amen. Yeah, I heard another testimony about some people that went over and I'm not sure where it was at, but it was over there where the Christians were being forced out and war was going on and stuff like that. And they were so overwhelmed with the needs of the people. I mean, the people were so hungry for truth. And, but there wasn't enough, people there. It was just, they were just overwhelmed with the needs that people had and wanting to hear the truth and stuff like that, but it's, you're right, that's opportunity. Because it's no different than us. The typical Christian doesn't even pray for themselves unless they're in a trial, unless they're, they've got something, happening in their physical body or in their family or something like that. They might pray over their food, but they're typically not praying, and unless they're in a trial. So when those things happen is when people get their eyes on the Lord. When they're in peace and prosperity and running after the world and that, they're not thinking about God. He's the farthest thing. They show up for their 40 minutes on Sunday, and they're back to their life. And that's just the reality of it, if where it is and in most of the body. And I'm just really seeing where the remnant that is really trying to be a disciple and get the truth and run after the truth and just put the Lord first and be searching out the scriptures and stuff like that. That remnant is so small in the body today. And true disciples are just, it's just a very minute number in the body. Would you agree with that, Michael?
Are you talking to me, Tim?
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah. I tell you, brother, like I said, the dealings that have been going on in my own life right now, I feel about as fluffy as it gets myself, and I'm just yearning for, I want some reality in my own experience far beyond what I know, to be in a place where the word, I like that word when the widow woman said to Elijah, after her son was raised from the dead, she turned to Elijah and said, "And now do I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word in thy mouth is truth." And you can give a doctrine to somebody, and it can be doctrinally correct, but it's only truth when it's been made flesh in you, and you're speaking out of your experience, not out of your theology. And I am crying out for that reality in my own experience. And so I know a lot of people that I know that are, they're kind of clueless, They show up at the golf course with a tennis racket and don't even realize there's a problem,
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Here, I'll share the story that I just read today. It says, the young boy clinging to his father as militants dragged them from their home and into the Kenyan night. "Where are you taking my father?" the boy asked during the struggle. Moments later, while still hanging on to his father's leg, he watched his lifeless body drop to the ground. "What will you do with us now?" he asked his father's killer. The boy's father was among 13 men and one teenage boy who were slaughtered after nightfall on July 5th. By about a dozen heavily armed men who went house to house searching for Christians in the village of Hindi. The attackers passed by the houses of Muslims, but they tied up all the Christian men before shooting them or slashing their throats. One believer who had refused to renounce his faith was found face down with a Bible placed on his back. More than 3,000 people fled the area during the attack, which reportedly was prompted by an alleged theft of a Muslim land and Kenyan military presence in Somalia. The killings in Hindi are representative of the growing number of violent attacks by Islamic militants in the prominently Christian Republic of Kenya. Kenya's coastal region, where Hindi is located, has faced increased attacks in recent years by radical Muslims, youth of Al-Shabaab, and jihadist terrorists, groups based in neighboring Somalia. The militant organization is seen as a serious threat to Kenya, especially after the September attack. It just goes on. While only men were targeted at the Hindi attack, many Christian women and children were traumatized by the killings. The militants raided the homes of one woman named Vida. During the search for Christians, the attackers knocked on the door using a neighbor who asked them to open the door and said where she heard her neighbor's voice. She opened the door to find her neighbor's hands tied behind his back, standing with several people. The woman was asked if she was a Muslim. Hoping to save her family and herself, she answered yes. The militants demanded proof, asking her to recite a verse from the Quran. When she failed the test, they tied her husband's hands, killed her neighbor in front of her family, and took her husband away. The woman quickly ran to another neighbor's house to alert the family of the attack. She then fled into the bush along with her children and neighbors. She was so depressed that she had denied Jesus, just like Peter, and yet that didn't save her husband. Today, she said, she will never again repeat the same mistake, but stand firm in her faith in Jesus. This has made her grow stronger in her faith. Another Christian woman, 50 years old, was cooking dinner when the militants came to her house. They kicked the door open. She said, they moved my husband from the house and they left me in the house. They forced me to go to the bed. There were four Somalians and two white men. The men began to question Anna's husband about his religion. They asked him, why can't you be a Muslim right now? She recalled. He said, no, I am a Christian. That is when they chopped off his head. They grabbed my husband and they cut off his head right at the door of the house and they locked me inside. After the attackers left, Anna broke a window and climbed out of her house, hiding in the bush the remainder of the night. Anna's life has been forever changed by her husband's murder, and she can barely bring herself to talk about it. My life has been troubled, she said. So, I mean, these are just some of the things that are going, you know, on in these countries. And, you know, they're, you know, asking people to, you know, to renounce Christ, to, you know, recite the, you know, from the Quran, and, you know, setting up roadblocks. I mean, this is just going on just every day. And, you know, and we don't see any of it. We don't hear about any of it. And, you know, it's just, but that same type of persecution, you know, is coming to the church. And, you know, the church is just been lulled to sleep right now. And, so it's just, you know, that's kind of where the state of America is. So we're, it's sobering to see what's going on, and, you know, it's, in these countries, and these people are standing for Christ. So, and I remember, you know, Trish sharing that there was a time that she, you know, heard a story about, Muslim men holding boys over the fire, you know, burning their bodies and saying, you know, telling them to renounce Jesus. And these are like 10, 12-year-old boys, and they would not renounce Jesus. And, you know, the one boy got away and he was sharing the story. And at the time she went into the pastor that, you know, we're in the church. And she said, I don't know if I could do that. You know, I don't know if I could be, you know, held over a fire and not, renounce Christ. I don't know if I'm really saved. And, you know, the people in the church, oh, yeah, yeah, you accepted Jesus, you're saved. And, you know, so she was, it was a point where, she, you know, she was really questioning her salvation when she was, you know, being told, oh, yeah, once you're saved, you're always saved. And it was like, wow, can I really do that? And you hear these stories and you think, wow, can I really do that? And do what these people are doing, just, you know, stand there boldly while they take a knife to your neck. And, you know, but that's why we have to be set apart from this world. That's why we've got to be dead to self. That's why we got to, you know, just abide in the secret place. So it's just a reality. Amen. All right, who's got anything to share? Any comments as far as on standing for Christ?
You know, Michael, you talked about the martyr's anointing, and that's interesting to me because I always figured that the Lord would. Is he still here? He's not here, is he? I always thought that the Lord would give people anointing to go through, you know, that martyrdom in the days ahead. The true Christians, I don't know. I'm not talking about the nominal going to get raptured out of here kind of Christians. I'm talking about the ones who really, truly love the Lord. He's going to put an anointing on them. If you've been chosen to be a martyr, he's going to put an anointing on you to stand in the joy and the peace and the rest of the Lord while all of that's going on around you. And you're not going to feel a thing. I believe that.
Amen.
What's interesting, Tim, is that you try to tell people that there's turmoil, destruction, and devastation coming to this United States, and they'll look at you like you're some kind of three-eyed dog, you know. But it's coming. The Lord, the Word says it's coming, and if the Lord says it's coming, it's coming. Even if it's, you know, he's telling us in prophetic word, he's telling us in words of knowledge, he's telling us all of these things, and people just will not, cannot grasp it in the church world, in the so-called church world. But it's coming, and those who are prepared are going to be the light that God uses to bring people into the wilderness. And that's what David's been talking about all these many years, you know, leading people into the wilderness and teaching them once he gets them there, teaching them what true discipleship is.
Amen. No, I shared a time back where I met he was a Baptist brother. But he had a great testimony. He was the Lord put on his heart to he lived several states away, and the Lord put on his heart to come to Tennessee and pray for some. I don't know how he knew this girl was in the hospital, but she was a young girl. I think she was in her teens, and the Lord put on his heart to come here and pray for this girl. And he went in to the hospital, prayed for her, and left. There was no manifestation at all. The doctors had written her off. She, you know, they basically said she was going to die. And I think it was within a couple days, all of a sudden she just had a total turnaround that, you know, that the doctors couldn't explain. And she ended up walking out of the hospital. And you know, I met the young lady, and I mean, she's the one that gave me the testimony. And this young man was the guy that came and prayed for her. And we were having just an awesome time in the Word and stuff like that. And he asked me what, you know, why I came to Tennessee. And I just started sharing a little bit of what the Lord, my testimony, what the Lord did and how I ended up here. And then I started sharing about, you know, as far as the refuge that we believe that, this area, you know, could be a refuge. There's going to be, you know, people coming here and during the tribulation and he just came out real bold, and he says, well, I'm not going to be here during the tribulation. We're going to be raptured out of here. We're not going to see any wrath, brother. And I said, And it was real interesting because we were having amazing, you know, we were having just a great time in the Lord, and then all of a sudden this religious spirit came up, and I just said to him, I said, what if you're not raptured out of here? What are you going to do? And he could not, that spirit could not accept that. He was like, no, it just isn't going to happen. There's no way. And he just started getting angry, and I just saw this demonic presence just, you know, just rear up when I asked him, what if you're not raptured out of here? What are you going to do? And my heart was sincere, and he did not want to think about it. He did not want to talk about it. He just was totally convinced he's not going to be here. And it was a shock to me because I just saw where he really, you know, knew the word, and he had a great testimony. But when it came to that, it's, you know, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be in shock. So, amen. All right, who's got something else that's on their heart?
Hi.
Hello? Hey, Anna.
Hi. I was wondering. I wanted to ask you if you could pray for my mother, Anna, and she has a strong accent. So I was wondering if I could speak for her.
Okay.
Ukraine, and in the Ukraine, having Bibles was prohibited. So, you know, probably, as you probably know, a lot of churches were burned to the ground, and, you know, the people who believe in God were either killed or imprisoned. And after, there was almost no Christians left. And so, you know, we're...
Hey, Anna, Anna?
Yeah.
You're breaking up really bad. It's like a real strong noise in the background. Is there a fan or anything running, or?
Oh, no, actually, no.
Okay, are you driving or in your home, or?
Yeah, I'm at home.
Okay.
Let me see. Hold on.
All right, she might be changing mics or something like that. So, Liz?
Oh, can you hear me? No.
Yeah, I can hear you. You still got a lot of static. You know what you might want to try to do? Why don't you try to go back out of Skype and then call back in? Just call in on another line, and let's see if that clears up, because there's like a real bad static in the background, and I'm having a hard time understanding you. So just go ahead and hang up, call back in, and let's see if it's any better.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Bye.
Okay. Thank
you. So, Father, right now we just ask that you just, when Anna calls back in, that you just give her a clear connection, just clear bandwidth, and we just thank you for just healing this static that, or whatever's going on in the background. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so Anna, are you gonna call back in? I would just go ahead and hang up and then just call back in, and let's see if it's any better. All right. Okay. Well, she's doing that. Does anybody else have anything on their heart? Comments? Any thoughts about what we've been talking about?
I've got a testimony of a friend of mine a few years ago. He was invited to go over into an African country. I don't even remember which one it was, but it was a Muslim/Christian country. And the Muslims were acting up over there. Anyway, he went to this village, and the first thing that happened when he got off the airplane, he got a taxi, and there was two men in the taxi cab. It was two guys, and he was in the back seat, and he told them where he wanted to go, and they were going out in the bush somewhere, and he could hear them, and he could understand them. The Lord supernaturally allowed him to understand what they were saying, and they were saying that they were going to take him out and take his money and then kill him and all that, and the boldness of the Lord came upon him, and he said, listen, I can hear and understand every word you say. And the Lord God himself showed me what you're saying. He said, you turn this car around right now in the name of Jesus. Take me back to where you picked me up right now in Jesus' name. They got scared. The fear of the Lord went all over them. This guy couldn't get that car turned around fast enough. Got him where he was going and kicked him out of the cab and threw a suitcase out there with him. and then when he got to the he got another taxi and was taken out to the village that he was going to teach at and preach at. And they took him, and it was a poor village, a very poor village. And actually in this village, there was a bunch of Muslims that ran the village, and it was against the law for them to congregate and to fellowship. But they had a makeshift tabernacle out there, just an old tin roof over some benches, he said, and they had a chicken coop up there for a pulpit. And he said when he got there, said he walked in, and this guy told him, he said, pray for me, pray for me. And this guy had all his fingers missing off of his right hand. And he said, okay. And he didn't understand him. The guy told him, he wants you to pray for him, pray for his hand. So he just reached and grabbed it and said, in the name of Jesus, I command them fingers to grow back, and just walked on. And said, all of a sudden, this guy went to hollering and screaming and jumping up and down and just flapping his arms and things, you know. And they told him, hey, look, you got to be quiet. You got to be quiet. The gendarmes are going to hear you, you know, and come over here and investigate. And he said, oh, look, he said, you know, understand, my fingers, they grow back. And his fingers had all grown back. The Lord had supernaturally replaced the fingers. But in the meantime, the police had heard him, and they were coming over to investigate. And the pastor that was there over the thing, he told Curry, he said, Curry, come on. He said, we got to go. He said, they'll come here and they get us. And he said, about that time they walked in the back, and it was at night, and they had extinguished all their candles and stuff so that they could hide. And said, I hid behind the chicken coop. He said, it was one of those wire coops that you could see right through. He said, but I was sitting there praying. I was praying, and said, those guys shined a light right in my eyes, never saw me, walked on. They walked out. The preacher grabbed him by the hand and said, come on, we got to get out of here. And they hit in a back alley and started running out. And when they got to where they was going, this pastor went berserk. He said, oh, you like Jesus, you like Jesus, you like Jesus. And Curry said, what in the world are you talking about, man? He said, look at me, look at me. And what had happened, as they were running down one of the canals that takes all of the human waste, the rainwater, all of that stuff out. The pastor was soaking wet. He was nasty. Curry only had, he had been walking on top, running on top of the water, and all he had was a little bit of water on top of his shoes. And that was what the preacher was excited about. So, and there was many more miraculous things that happened in that visit, but that's just a few of them. What God's going to do for his people when they believe, you know, when you have faith and you exercise that faith, God's going to take care of you. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. That's an awesome testimony. Thank you, Lord. Hey, Anna, you're back.
Yeah, hi. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, you sound great. Thank you.
Is it better? Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead and start over again, because you were just really breaking up.
Okay. I wanted to ask if you could pray for my mother, Anna. My name is Mila, actually. She has a strong accent. So we are from the Ukraine.
Is it Mila?
Mila.
Okay.
Yeah, Mila.
All right, go on.
So she has a strong accent, though. We are from the Ukraine, and in the Ukraine, having Bibles was prohibited. And as you know, probably now, a lot of churches were burned to the ground, you know, and the people who believed in God, they were either killed or imprisoned. And after the revolution, there are almost no Christians left. So we're really new to this. So, you know, we got our first Bibles only here in the United States, and we started learning and reading the Bibles. And actually, we don't go to church, but we found some recordings online, and we'll listen to them. And this is actually how we found you guys through the internet. And we're really happy to join you online and or over the phone. And I really believe it's very important to do testimonies and praying for people. But I was also wondering if you could pray for Anna, for my mother, because she has breast cancer, and actually she decided that she didn't want it to trust doctors, so she would take like a more alternative route to healing, like natural remedies and the power of God. And actually she learned that through faith, wonderful things would happen. And also there's another problem now. We need to move out of the condo because the owner is going to sell the condo, and there's not much time left to find a new place. And also, currently, we're in Section 8, so this limits our ability to find a new place because the money is limited. And so I was wondering if you could actually pray for that, and so we could find a good place suitable for healing, if that's possible. But thank you very much.
Okay. Sure. So your mom is a believer. She's reading the Word and believing.
Yeah. She's okay. Really just starting. Yeah.
Okay. And her name is Mila.
No. My name is Mila, and her name is Anna.
Anna. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Your name is Mila.
Anna is my mother.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Now I have it. Yeah, it's coming up as Anna, so I thought you were Anna. So,
I'm just talking for her because she has a strong accent.
Okay, that's fine.
So English is not that great, so that's why I'm speaking for her. She kind of asked me to.
Okay. All right, well, let's just pray for your mom. And so we're going to put everybody in the room tonight is going to put our faith together. And we're just going to come against this breast cancer. And so, Father, right now, we just lift up Anna to you, Lord, and she needs a miracle right now, Lord. And she's at a point of weakness, and she's trusting in you, Lord. She's trusting in a miracle. And, Lord, your word says that by your stripes that Anna was healed. And that if we just come to you with the faith of a mustard seed and believe that it is done, that you will move the mountains. And this is a mountain in her life right now, Lord. So, Father, right now we just come together and we just, we just believe with Anna. And we just speak to that spirit of cancer right now. And we command that spirit of cancer to loose her body. We command it to die in the name of Jesus. And we command that cancer to get off her body now and get out of her body now in the name of Jesus. And we just curse that disease right now, and we command it to go in Jesus' name. And Father, we just thank you for just this miracle. And Lord, you just you are the healer. That she was already healed, and she just needs the faith, Lord. And we just ask you to just fill her full of your faith, to stand in this trial, and to, just to be led of you and not to be led of man, and not to believe the bad report, not to believe what man tells her. And we just thank you, Lord, that she is healed in Jesus' name. And, Lord, they need a miracle. They need a place to stay, and you are the provider. That you're going to provide for them. And Father, right now, we just ask you to open doors, that you will just provide a place for them, that you've got a place already for them. And we just thank you for that, Lord, that you're just going to guide them to that. You're going to open the door, and you're going to provide everything they need for their new place. And we're just believing that. And we just put our faith together for that, Lord, that you're going to guide and direct them to their new home. And, Lord, if that's in the San Diego area, it's great. But if you've got another place for them, that you will just give them a dream. You will just speak to them. You will just lead them to where they need to be. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know if anybody else wants to pray.
Yeah, I'd kind of like to, in the name of Jesus right now, Lord, we just thank you that Anna is healed, restored as new, every cell, every muscle, every organ in her body be healed in the name of Jesus. We come against that spirit of the fear of cancer. We command you to go in Jesus' name, and we thank you, Father, that Anna is completely healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And I believe everybody in here believes that in Jesus' name. Lord, we praise you that Anna is healed. Amen.
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 Thank you, Lord. Hey, Mila, have you guys been listening to some of the Bible studies and that on the website?
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Amen.
Hello?
Anna, you're healed. Have you guys been listening to some of the Bible studies now?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Because there is some teachings on receiving your healing and walking by faith and stuff like that. So
Yes. No, we are listening audio cassette with David all the time. Every day we are listening. David.
Amen. Awesome. Well, welcome, Anna. We just, God's going to bless you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. God bless you. Thank you very much.
Amen.
Thank you very much.
All right, Mila. And anybody, if Anna comes to mind, just keep her in your prayers, and we're just going to be waiting for the testimony.
Amen. We're going to be believing with you, Anna, that you're going to be speaking that truth too. When somebody tells you, "Oh, you got breast cancer," no, God took it away from you. Thank you, Jesus. That's all you got to do. And that just tells the Lord that your faith is right there where he is. Praise God. You just walk in that.
I understand.
You walk in that knowledge that you've already been healed 2,000 years ago. And when that person comes up and tries to put it back on, you say, "Oh, no, God healed me. I'm healed. Thank you, Jesus." That's all you got to do.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Amen. God bless you, girl.
Oh, God bless you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Anna, you've been a Christian all your life. Anna.
No, I was not a Christian. I was not a Christian. I didn't have chance in Ukraine to be Christian, you know. So I was just studying Bible, this one, here in America. Yes, in America.
Okay. And how long have you been in America?
Every audio cassette.
Hey, Anna, how long have you been in America?
It's a lot, but...
Okay.
Like 15 years, like something like this. But first time we were struggling, just went to, it was a lot of stress. Everything was so stressful. Go to colleges, go to learn how to drive. So it was, but now... Yeah.
Well, now, we see you believe.
Now we have the different way of thinking. Now we are learning Bible. We are reading Bible every day and listening all audio cassette and listening and reading. And pray, but we are not sure if you're praying like. Right, but
you need to pray,
right?
We want to help you with some prayer. How's that? Okay?
Thank you very much. much. Thank you very
much. The way we're going to help you is not quite probably what you understand or believe, but we're going to take you there today, hopefully. Most of us have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and by that baptism, we've been allowed to give the gifts of tongues. Now, it allows you to pray anytime you want, and you pray when you do that, you're using the voice of the Lord coming through you, basically. The Holy Spirit's praying through you. And when that happens, you have a perfect prayer going on. And you're not only do you gain this prayer language, you start gaining a sense of the Holy Spirit around you and in you and the power of the Lord. And so just because you're a Christian and you've made that commitment of faith, the next step is to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. And we believe this is a very important step in a Christian life, in this Christian walk. That's what's going to enable you to overcome and have the faith for the things you need and continue on in everything in Christ. So what we would like to do is all pray for you and have the Holy Spirit come down on you and Mila. And so you guys mm-hmm. can also have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Would that be something you would like to have done?
Yes. Yeah, it would
okay.
be great.
That would be awesome. I think so too, and so do all of us. Because we need that. We all do. And that's why we're together as a believers and a body of believers here today. Because we also, because being disciples, we receive that ourselves. So let's do that. Let's go to the Lord. Dear Father, we come to you today. And we so graciously love you for the presence you've given us and the promise through Jesus of receiving the promise of the Holy Spirit. So now, Lord, we impart that Spirit on Mila and Anna in the name of Jesus. We pray this on them. We ask this to come into their lives, Lord, and fill them with your Spirit, Father. In the name of Jesus, we pray this together. And Father, is there anything else anybody wishes to add to this? I allow them to come in right now. In the name of Jesus.
So, Father, right now, we just believe with them right now that you're going to baptize them with this gift and fill them fresh with your Spirit, Lord. Fill them fresh with the Holy Spirit, with the utterances speaking in tongues, Lord. And we just thank you for just, filling them right now, Lord, and just meeting their needs. And we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Now, what we want to do is a few of us just spray tongues right now so you understand what this is we're talking about. So I'm going to pray, and maybe a few other people might join in. You're going to hear this, an interesting language you've never heard before. Now, this is going to be what you're going to have the ability to do. But you have to just accept this as yours, it's your gift. Find a quiet place and allow this to come out. Just allow yourself to go free and let the Lord come through you and utter language out of your mouth. And when it starts flowing, it'll flow and you're not sure, but it will be the Lord praying through you. And now you have the ability to continuously talk and pray to the Lord. Even if you don't really have anything on your mind, you can just overcome this prayer language, and then whatever's in your heart, you can add to that when you're praying. So we're going to just pray a little bit so you can see what we're talking about, okay? So you and Mila, listen, and this is also coming on you. Have you heard tongues before? Okay, here's a language we're going to pray, and a few of us will come in right now, okay? Here's my language, and somebody else will probably play with me.
Oh,
praise you, Lord.
Praise you, Father.
Okay, you've received the gift of tongues, and we're going to expect a good report. So like I said, you're going to have the opportunity now to use this prayer language, and don't feel embarrassed. Just find a time you can just let it go, relax, let your mouth open, and let come out whatever comes out, and let it continuously roll. You have the ability to start it and stop it. It's not something you don't have control on. It's part of you. It's with you, just like your breath. It's your breath coming out. But it's now the Holy Spirit speaking through you and praying through you. But you will have Satan attack you and say, "Oh, it's not tongues. That's not right. Yeah, it's." He'll try to dissuade you and discourage you like everything else he does. Don't listen to him. Just pray even harder. And it's all yours. It's a gift from the Lord.
Yeah, a lot of times
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Yeah, a lot of times when you're just quiet with the Lord, you start praising him and that, and then you'll start getting little words, little utterances will start coming out, and, you know, it might come out in one or two words in the beginning, and then it'll just start building, and eventually it'll just start flowing. And there is some teachings on the site as far as receiving the Holy Spirit, and you know, you're always welcome. You know, when you come into the room, just ask questions or anything like that, and we're here for you. Just a fellowship.
You know,
amen.
I believe Sovereign God has a small teaching on there.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Okay, go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, I say the Sovereign God book has a small teaching on it in the later chapters. I don't remember which one it is, but I did want to explain something to you that you may or may not know. Upon salvation, Anna and Mala, you receive the Spirit of Christ at that time, but upon the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that's the Spirit of the Father, which gives you the power, the overcoming power to overcome sin in your life, to overcome all of those obstacles that keeps you from that perfection walk that God wants you to walk with him. And it provides you with the faith. The tongues itself is an edifying tool for your personal life, your personal spiritual life. And when I speak in tongues and speak in it long, for a period of time, that edifies my spiritual man, and it builds up faith inside of me to do the things that God wants us to do. It gives us that boldness to speak as an evangelist. It gives you the boldness to overcome that sin nature, and that's the job of the Holy Spirit inside of you, and that's to help you, to speak to you, to teach you what the Word of God means. All of those power tools that God has come from the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Father. So that's kind of a synopsis of what the Holy Spirit is and does for each individual believer. Just a short. And there's a whole lot more than that, and we don't have time right now to go through all of that, but there's a lot of teaching on the site about the Holy Spirit and his function. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Yeah, we'll look at it on site. Yeah, thank you.
All right.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
All right, there's... Anybody else need prayer, want prayer, just want to receive the Holy Spirit, have any revelation, anything they want to, anything on their heart, they want to question, anything like that? All right.
You know, Tim, testimonies encourage everybody. And I would highly recommend that everybody that has a testimony, makes no difference how old it is or how new it is, those testimonies always encourage the brothers and sisters in this room. They always have me, and I'm sure they do the other people. And so prepare yourself before you come on. If you have a testimony, to be prepared to give that testimony, because it's glorifying God is what you're doing. You're giving God all the glory, because he's the only one that can do the things that he has in our lives. You know, we've got, man, I tell you what, people on this site here that got some wonderful testimonies that a lot of people hadn't heard, and it'd be nice to give them out.
Amen. Yeah, testimonies, I mean, they really are just, it's just God's power, you know, what God has done in, you know, somebody's life, in your life, and you know, when people hear your testimony, you know, there's other people that are struggling in that area or might be looking for the same type of, you know, answer to prayer, and it just encourages, it edifies, it really lifts up. And it just, it brags on the Lord. I mean, as far as the power, as far as what he's doing in people's lives, that it's just an awesome tool. And he's been really teaching me, just when I'm out, you know, sharing the, you know, the love of Christ, and that when the door opens, I just share testimonies. And it really, you know, it really opens the eyes. I don't try to preach or anything like that. I just try to share testimonies, and it's powerful, because nobody can steal your testimony. And then when I'm blessed with the testimony, it encourages me when I hear it. You know, when I have somebody just on the street give me a testimony, like I've shared some of them, and it's like, wow, it just totally blesses me.
Well, you know, Tim, last time I went to Arkansas, I picked up a guy on the other side of Nashville, and I took him all the way to Little Rock to a men's shelter there. He was headed to Phoenix, I believe. Yeah, Phoenix. And but the whole time, all I did was share testimonies about God's goodness on the streets, and because he was a street guy. And I told him, you know, every story that I could think of all the way there. And he was just amazed that God would do that for people. The you know, the miracles, the healings, the deliverances, and all of those things. And so he was quite affected by that. And he couldn't believe that I would even take him an hour away from where I live, on the other side of where I live, there in Arkansas, to take him on over to Little Rock and get him a free night stay and a meal at a men's shelter there. And, you know, and it was really affected his life. And of course, I've prayed for him since then. And I just believe God's going to use him in a mighty way. That's what testimonies do. They bring people's attention toward God.
And the thing is, you know, if, when we're sharing testimonies, you know, if I know a testimony that, you know, Dave has, or Michael has, or, you know, Malcolm has, you know, whatever, when I run across somebody who's in that same situation, and I shared, I've shared different people's testimonies with other people, when they're in that same situation, I'll share somebody else's testimony saying, hey, I know, you know, this guy on the conference call that was in this struggle, and, you know, this is what God did, or, you know, it's just awesome. You know, I've just, and when you hear a testimony like Tom Kruger going to heaven or something like that, and you can share that to an unbeliever, it's powerful. They just, you know, when they hear a story about, you know, walking through heaven and seeing the babies and stuff like that, I mean, it just opens your eyes. It really does, you know. So it's, testimonies are powerful, and you can just use them to administer to other people, you know, even sharing somebody else's testimony. So like Michael did tonight with the guy that went over to, you know, on the missions trip or wherever, you know, he was doing there. And you know, it's like, wow, that's awesome. So, all right. So after Michael said
testimony.
All right, let's hear it.
I just wanted to say that, this is Mila. The last time, you know, we wanted to ask you how to pray. And we didn't ask you, but you answered our question even though we didn't even ask you. So that was really great. You explained how to pray and everything. But at the same time, the phone broke and we had lots of problems with the connection. But we couldn't ask you that question. But thank you for answering it. Anyways, thank you.
And see, that's the Lord. I mean, that's how much our Father loves us. Is you know, He'll just put on somebody's heart to share something that we need to hear in the timing that we need to hear it. And I've had Him do that with me, and it's so awesome when you can meet somebody else. Yes, sir.
Hey, that reminds me of that story that David tells about getting his washing machine fixed. You remember that? He got his his washing machine messed up. Mary's washing machine messed up, and he had these college kids take it, and they wanted to fix it, and they were going to charge him. You know, all it's going to be was just for parts. And anyway, they got it fixed the next day. He didn't think they were going to get it fixed so quick, and he didn't have the money. And they called him and told him that it was ready and it was going to be $50. And he said, "Okay, I'll just bring it on." And he just got off the phone. And he said, "What am I going to do? I don't have the money." He said, the thought came to me. He said, "In the name of Jesus, there's $50 in that mailbox when I go out there and get my mail." And sure enough, he went out there, got the mail, and there was a letter in there that had $50 in it that had been sent 6 months prior, that had been floating around in the postal system. God had it held up until the time that David actually needed it and made a testimony out of it. So that's God and the way He works a lot of time.
Amen. Did we share that testimony David just shared on the watch? I don't know if we did last week or not, but he just shared this. I'd never heard this testimony before, but David said he found a watch laying in the dirt and it wasn't running, and he took it up to the Walmart or the store or something like that, and they opened it up, and there was 3 batteries in it. And all 3 batteries were bad. And the cost of the batteries, you know, were more than he wanted to spend for a watch, because he needed 3 batteries. So he just took the watch, you know, back home with the dead batteries. And then the thought came to his mind, or the Lord says, you know, I don't know if the Lord spoke to him or whatever it was, but he said, you know, don't you think that I can make that watch run? And he said, put one battery in the watch. And David said, said to the Lord, "Well, Lord, which hole do I put the battery in?" And he said, the Lord said, "It doesn't matter. Just put it in there. You know, just pick any one." So David said he just put one battery in there, closed the watch back up, and he said the thing started running, you know.
And it ran for years.
Yeah, he said it ran for years on that one battery that was dead. Sure. So, I mean, the Lord will just put you in a situation where, you know, He just wants to test your faith, you know. And because I'd never heard that story with the watch and the batteries. He just shared it the other night. It was like, wow, that's awesome. Every time I thought about it, I just started laughing. What hole, Lord? Just anyone. Just pick one, you know? So, I mean, the Lord can do anything. So, amen. All right, let's, anybody else have a testimony? Anything they'd like to share? All right. Everybody's being shy tonight. We only have a few more minutes left, so does anybody have anything else they'd like to need prayer on or anything before we close out?
I was wondering. I got some tickets a while. I was talking to you last time, and the phone kept disconnecting, and first the phone disconnected, and then the battery died, and then we had a whole bunch of trouble. We got some warnings from the manager the same day that we need to, same moment basically when we were talking, when this conference call was going on, and just the tickets that warnings we need to keep some stuff outside or something. So I don't know what was going on. So, but we, it was really hard for us to get connected to the first call. So maybe next time it would be much easier. I'm just hoping for that.
Okay.
So maybe there'll be more, it'll be better. It'll be easier to connect.
Okay. You want to pray that?
Yeah. That'd be great. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Okay. The only thing is you said something about tickets. What was that about?
It's not really tickets. It's the warnings that we just kept some boxes outside of our door, and they just told us, you know, because we had to move.
Okay.
And they just told us to remove the boxes and all kinds of just, I don't know. And the phone got disconnected.
Okay, so all that was going on.
And the battery died.
All that was going on the first night that you called in.
Yeah. That was the first time. Yeah, the first day.
It sounds like the enemy didn't want you to connect with us. So.
Yeah, it sounds like that. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
It was a whole bunch of trouble. The phone got disconnected, battery died, and we had to use two different phones to try to connect again.
Okay.
There's a lot of problems, too.
All right. I think Dave is going to, you know, get back to you on this, this other, I forget what he called it, Hangout, Google+, but, but we'll definitely get back to you on that, but we'll pray. So Father, we just, thank you for just, blessing, you know, Anna and Mila, and just allowing them to, you know, we just bind up the principalities and powers that try to bring distractions, that try to bring anything to distract them from getting the truth, getting your word, growing in you, coming to the fullness of truth, and we just forbid it in the name of Jesus, Lord. And Father God, we just ask you to just, you know, just work in them, just open up their spiritual eyes, just allow them to, you know, just now that they're baptized in the Spirit, to start walking in the Spirit, start seeing in the Spirit, start being led of you, start hearing your voice, just, that you will, they'll see you speaking to them through the Word. When they read the Word, that the Word will come alive to them, and they'll just see you just administering into their life and guiding them, and just showing your love for them. And we just thank you for just growing them up quickly in Christ Jesus, Lord. Father, if there's anything in them that is unpleasing to you, any unforgiveness, any sin, anything there that they need to repent and just get right with you, Lord, we just ask you to show them, put it on their heart, you know, anything that is just, you know, just a stumbling block in their lives right now, Lord. And we just thank you for just blessing them. And we thank you for your angels over them, your protection over them. We just thank you for just your provision. We thank you for their your deliverance. We just thank you for just the healing that's already taken place, that's already done. And we just thank you for building their faith and just working them mightily, Lord. And just continue to guide and direct them in these days, Lord. We just thank you for that in Jesus' name. And Father, just bless everybody tonight. Just bless their week. Just guide them. Just show them their, just let them be led of you, Lord. And, Lord, if there's any areas that they are not separated from this world, any world, any things that they're hanging on to that is, is an idol in their life, Lord, I just ask you to expose the idols that are in their life, Lord. The things that they are putting before you that is unpleasing to you, Lord, we just thank you for just exposing that, Lord. And Father, we just ask if there's anything in their heart that they're, you just shine that light in their heart and just show them as far as anything that is there, Lord, that they're hanging on to, anything like that, Lord. Father, just work in all of us, Lord, just bring us into your fullness, to help us to get sanctified from this old flesh, from this old world, and to just live pleasing unto you, Lord. And we just ask you, Lord, that you just bless everybody in this room this week. We thank you for the protection over them and just the hunger for your truth, the hunger for the word. And we thank you for this this fellowship, Lord, and that next week there's going to be plenty of testimonies of what you're doing in everybody's life. And guide and direct us, Lord. We just thank you. You're just wonderful. We thank you for just these testimonies tonight. And bless everybody this week in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good night, everybody. It's been an awesome night, and we love you, and we'll see you next Tuesday.